for the 15th time. Yeah, it's 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we'll start a little bit out of order. We'll go to the Lord in prayer first. And then we're going to dive right in. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And verse 58, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. And again, thank you for those who have put so much effort into what you see behind me. And I know that many of you have had a part in that. I know that the Racinos young ladies were here painting. I know that the Alva ladies were working on much of this. I know that Mrs. Moore, where are you at, Mrs. Moore? Are you in here? Are you in nursery? Okay, she must be in nursery. Did so much of this, planned all of this, organized all of this. And to me, the way I look at it is, number one, it's beautiful. And number two, I didn't have to do it. And I'm really, really thankful for that. And for all of you who take so much off of the plate, of my plate and the staff's plate, we really do appreciate that. That is wonderful. And if it was left up to the staff, we would have had like one Christmas tree up there. And we'd have called it camping in Bakersfield. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 58 in just a minute. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. I love you, Lord. I really do. And I'm honored, Father, to be able to fill in on your behalf. To speak to your people with your word and through your spirit. I'm asking God that you would get in front of me and that you'd help our people to understand how to balance their lives and help me, God, to understand how to balance my life. Father, as a young man, I've definitely not figured this out. This is something that I struggle with on a daily basis, something that we in our family, we struggle with on a daily basis. Lord, we want to be balanced, but life is so naturally out of balance, so naturally upheaved. By shift of priorities, shift of responsibilities, and so many things in this life are changing, ever changing. And with it, if we're not careful, can go our sense of balance. And Lord, we know that's not your desire. You desire, God, that we would be balanced in every area of our life, in every aspect of our life, and the many facets you've given to us. There are many people who wear many hats in this room, many of them who are mothers, and also they're employed. They also have, you know, homeschool responsibilities and things of that nature. There's so many circumstances represented here tonight. I can't possibly cover them all, so I'm not going to endeavor to do that, but I do ask that your spirit would get in on this thing and help us to walk away better understanding our responsibilities of surrender, our responsibilities of balance in every area that's important to you. Bless us, we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed how easily life gets out of balance? I do. I notice that all the time. Maybe you're like me. Everything is going great. You got all your priorities in a row. All your ducks are in a row. You know where all your children are. And then all of a sudden, it just seems one day something happens and you're like, where is our kid? And what happened to all the money that was in our bank account? What, you know, where did this all come from? Life truly does have a way of shifting and changing and unbalancing itself. We heard at family camp one of the best truths, and we heard it this morning as well. It was just applied in a different way. How naturally, just by nature, pride wells up within us. And just by nature, our love tends to wane. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Preacher talked about it this morning. Just by nature, by default, our hearts harden. By nature, by default, our priorities shift. By nature, by default, things get out of balance. It's kind of like putting a toddler down, you know, and telling them to stay there. Things just don't stay where they're supposed to be many times. I know that in our home, it's easy for children to get out of balance. How many of you know that if a toddler misses a nap, the world has ended? And they will scream at you to tell you, I am not tired. They will, and it's really funny to me because you're proving to me you're tired by, you know, crying, I don't need a nap, I don't need a nap. And it's like, the only thing you need right now is a spanking and a nap. I'm telling you, I don't need a nap. It's like, you need a nap, man. And kids can become very unbalanced. It's very, very easy. If a schedule changes, if something, you know, some expectation is not met. I don't know about you. Have you ever had plans and you told the kids you were going to do something and something came up and just didn't happen? It wasn't that you were trying to lie to them. You know, we went to the Build-A-Bear thing. Did anybody else try that? It was just me. We were the only ones dumb enough. I told my wife, I said, the line is going to be a million miles. Oh, it's Bakersfield. We got there and the line was like 3,000 people deep. And so we're like, sorry, kids, we're not doing Build-A-Bear. We're not doing Build-A-Bear. It's like, no, you'll be fine. But children tend to get out of balance. Maybe yours don't. Ours do that. Our children are human. Money tends to get out of balance. Have you ever noticed that? One moment you got it under control, the next moment it's gone. You know, I believe in budgeting. We budget every week of our life. We work our budget. We rework our budget. We plan our budget. We try to stick to it. But I know how easy it is for money to get out of out of balance. You know, I've talked with many people who, yeah, they were given to missions at one time, and then all of a sudden, what happened? We don't give to missions anymore. And, you know, we were tithing, and now we can't afford to tithe. And now we, you know, we don't tithe because we tell ourselves we can't afford to tithe. Money has a way of getting out of balance. Ministry has a way of getting out of balance. For some of you in this room, once you were serving, you were faithful, and now perhaps you're out of balance. And for others in here, maybe right now, and this is the very, very, very minority of people, and I most of the time don't even address it because somebody in here who's doing like one Tuesday soul winning a month is going to be like, Pastor, you're talking to me. I'm doing too much. You know, but there are some people in church who it can become out of balance. You're doing too much and not balancing your family properly. And ministry and service, life is just difficult to balance. You're looking at me like it's not for you. It is for me, okay? I don't know how your life is, but I know how my life is. There are a lot of priorities. I wear a lot of hats, and I know you do as well. How many of you in here are a parent? Raise your hand. Keep those hands up. How many of you work? Okay, how many of you perhaps you're stay-at-home's moms? And that's I would rather work than be a stay-at-home mom. Truly, you all have so many different priorities, and they tend to shift around. Marriage can get out of balance. Okay, and maybe you're not brave enough to amen that, but it does. You know, everything's going well, everything's going sweet. You know, you're smooching, you're dating, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, I have a wife. I forgot. You know, what is going on? And marriage tends to get out of balance. Extra expectations come on us. Maybe work picks up or work drops off. And that can absolutely change the balance of a situation. And I've had many couples in my office who the man will say this, I thought everything was going well. And the wife will show that face like, but I thought everything was going well. I do this, and I don't do it as a game. But one thing I've noticed through my years of counseling is that if you ask on a scale of 1 to 10, how's your marriage? The men will almost always go from 7 to 9. The women will almost always go from 4 to 6. It's always. And the guy's like, I always ask the guy first. And he's always like, it's like a 9.5. And the lady's like, it's a 3. And there's like utter feeling of betrayal comes over them. And like, there's a problem. But that just happens naturally. If you don't work on it, marriages deteriorate. If you don't work on it, relationships with children deteriorate. And life just has a way of getting out of balance. Now, I'm going to give you a fun word. It is an actual word, and the word is funambulist. Anybody know what a funambulist is? Awesome, okay. Anybody want to guess what a funambulist is? It's actually a really fun person who drives an ambulance. And that was my first, it's not, but in my mind, I'm like, funambulist. Yeah, that's a fun ambulance. It's not. It's a fancy name. He wasn't too far off because he's deductive reasoning it. He wasn't too far off. Don't give him too much credit. He wasn't too far off. Funus, it's a Latin word. It's made up of two roots. Funus means rope. Ambular means walk. A funambulist is a fancy name for a tightrope walker. And they say that the key, and I've not done much tightrope walking in my day, but they say that the key to funambulism, an actual word, is the ability to balance tensions, okay? Follow me here. You see, a funambulist who walks across a tightrope, the body of that person naturally wants to move one way or another. How many of you do not like heights? How many are actually afraid of heights? I'm not afraid of heights, but I do not like heights. Just this past week, Brother Josh and I, where are you at? Miss Shelley, plug your ears. I don't want you to hear this. Miss Shelley, are you in here? Plug your ear. Okay, she's not in here. Brother Josh and I were on this rickety ladder out front, knocking off the frame that the stucco guys are going to fix tomorrow. But we were up on the top of that 20-foot ladder swinging a sledgehammer, and sometimes we would miss, and we'd go with the sledge. It was just, I don't like heights. I was doing most of the top work. He was doing some, okay? I was doing most of the top work, but it's easy to get out of balance. And when you get up high like that, your body naturally wants to lean one way or another. And so a funambulist is balancing the tension of their own fear. They're balancing the body that wants to go one way or another. Not only do they want to move, but the rope wants to move. Anybody ever try that slacklining? I guess that's kind of coming in. Any of our teenagers, you've done slacklining. Brother Ronnie, I would pay to see that. That'd be awesome. If you've ever done any of that, the rope wants to move too. With your tension, with your body weight, it goes down, and then it wants to naturally go to the point of least resistance, which is either left or right. It reaches a point it can't go any farther down, and then it wants to go this way. And so the funambulist, the tightrope walker, is not only balancing their own body, they're balancing the tension of the rope wanting to move, the wind, the pressures that come from this way, from that way. A funambulist, the key to doing it, from what I'm told, is to be able to balance tension. tensions. Because if the rope is too tight, it will not allow a grace of movement. If it's just strung really, really tight, this is what they say, there's no natural rhythm. It's just too tight. But if there's just the right amount of tension, there's a natural lilt that you can do as you walk with it. But if it's too tight, that lilt or that movement is not there. If it's too loose, your legs fatigue. Because there's too much. This week, I found myself trying to fix our fan in our bedroom. I brought the comforter back into the bedroom. We had just washed it, and I thought it would be a good idea to throw it on the bed. It was just a big one. And so I threw it like this, and I hit the fan and just snapped the fan blade off. And so this week, I was standing on our bed trying to get this thing on there. And I was up there for, man, I don't know, probably an hour. And I got off, and I realized my ankles were tired. And it's not because I'm fat. I mean, it might have been because I'm fat. But the bed is not a stable platform. So I'm balancing that constant tension of trying to get that screwdriver in there. And so if that rope is too loose, it's going to fatigue that walker and he's not going to be able to make it across. So the key to a successful funambulist is the mastery of balancing tensions. So it is with the Christian life. Stability comes from the mastery of balancing the tensions of this life. And that's the entire message. And it might be easy to think, okay, Pastor, I got it. I'll clock out for the rest of it. But then you think, well, wait, what? How do I do that? I mean, that would be kind of like me taking you to the top of a tower and saying, hey, the key to getting across, Brother Wright, is just don't die. Okay, that doesn't help me, right? The idea to say, well, Christian, if you just balance everything, you're going to be A-okay. That you can't really take that to the bank. And so my desire tonight is to try to help you understand how to balance life. I truly believe, after thinking about this, I truly believe it would take less effort to learn how to balance on a tightrope than it would to balance being a dad, being in whatever ministry you may or may not serve in, the financial aspects of being a breadwinner. I think it'd be easier, honestly, to teach a teenager how to tightrope walk than it would to teach a teenager how to be a balanced teenager. And so there's a lot that goes in to learning how to be a balanced teenager, and that's or adult or whatever area or facet of life you're in. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. That next word is the key that we're looking at. And we're going to use a couple verses tonight, but this one word is what I want to hone in on. So it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, verse 58, be steadfast. Read the next word with me. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so the idea here, and there's a few other passages that talk about stability. There's a few other passages that talk about not being blown about. There's a few other passages in Scripture that talk about having a stable identity, a stable way of living. And so we're going to look into that this morning, this evening rather. But before I get to the practical application of what and how to better balance, I got to teach you two of the most important, most important principles of balance, okay? And I'm actually talking physical balance here. This is not a PE class. You're going to see the parallels, I think, without even me helping you. So there's two rules when it comes to balancing across something. Number one, here's the number one rule, keep it centered. I'll tell you what it is in a minute. And number two, keep yourself centered upon it. So when you're talking about balancing, you're walking across a tightrope, or if you've ever walked across the ladder or something of that nature, the two most important rules is to keep it balanced, number one, and number two, to keep you balanced upon it. So what is it? Well, it is whatever you attempt to build your balance upon. So I do have an illustration. I'm going to grab it real quick. I'm going to put it up for you for just a second. So let's represent, this is going to be our tight rope, okay? And thankfully, we don't actually have a rope. Brother Ronnie didn't want to bring a slack line. He's just busy. As soon as he gets home, he's going to work on it. That was a joke, people. Either my humor has tanked since I'm 30, or you're just hot. Okay, I'm gonna go with it's hot. So it is the thing that you're trying to balance on. How many of you have ever, I don't know if you've ever done it, but I've never wasted my money on it. I know that I can't do it. Have you ever seen the ladder at the carnival? It's got two points and then it spreads and it's a ladder. And you try to walk across it. What makes that so difficult is that it moves. You're trying to keep your center of gravity balanced on something that is constantly moving.
That's why it's hinged on that side and hinged on that side with swivels, because it can move underneath you. And so the key to balancing is to keep it where it needs to be, to keep it centered. An actual tightrope walker, the rope can and does move. And so the balance of tension is to keep it underneath you. If it gets over there, you're in trouble, right? If it gets too far to this side, you're in trouble. You have to keep it centered. You want to keep it underneath you. And so that's the first rule. The second rule, so keep it under you. The second rule is that you have to keep you centered upon it. You ever seen a tightrope walker? What do they have in their hands? It's a giant pole. They call it a balance pole. And this pole is really important. It does a couple things, and this is not meant to be a lesson on, you know, funambulism, but basically this pole keeps their center of gravity low. Most of us, our center of gravity is like right in the center of our chest. And so if we get tipped this way, we tend to fall that way. This pole keeps your center of gravity about your waist. And what it does is it creates you more centered. Your measure of mistakes becomes wider versus just my shoulders. You have this giant long stick so that if you slightly lean this way and you get off center from it, if your center of gravity comes over here, you have this giant pole that can keep you balanced back over here. And if you get over here, you have this giant pole that keeps you back over here. And so the keys to balancing is to keep it centered, number one. Number two, to keep you centered upon it. Now, let me illustrate this. Miss Emily, come on up, okay? She's the only person I could find that was light enough. See, I didn't know Brother Ronnie was a funambulist. Otherwise, I'd have got him up here. But, sister, you go ahead and hop up here. So let me illustrate the two principles of balance. Number one, you have to keep this underneath you. So, Miss Emily, if I start moving this, it becomes considerably harder for her to balance. So that's number one. Number two, put your hand up for me. If you face this way, you try to stay balanced. If your center of balance gets slightly off, you can't balance. So you see the two principles at play? This needs to be where it needs to be. This needs to be where it needs to be. So Emily, lean out here and touch my hand for me, okay? You're doing great. Oh, okay. So she got off balance. She didn't keep her center of gravity centered. Now, again, that pole might help her. She might be able to lean that pole out. There's actually a way. I didn't do too much research into it, but you can actually turn that pole a certain way that will help you balance. Okay, you can be seated right now. I will use you again in a minute. So this idea of rule number one, keep it centered. Rule number two, keep you centered to it, is two-thirds of the Christian life. Okay, I'm going to give you the third here in a minute. But this idea of keeping, what is it? Well, it is what you build your balance on. Now, it can be a number of things, but obviously the obvious application in having a balanced life is keeping it, really who, say it with me, Jesus, the center of your life. And then number two, keeping your life centered on him. And those two things sound the same, but they aren't. And we'll explain that why in just a minute. So I want to focus on these two principles first, and I'll give you the last third of the message. So number one, if we're going to have a balanced life, number one, we need to keep Jesus at the center of our life. If you will ever learn to balance and make it across the rope of this life, we must learn what our it actually is. You know, we all have something that we believe is the center of our world. We all do. And we build everything we are and everything we want to be upon it, okay? And I'm not defining it for you. I've already given you what the right answer is. But we all draw our stability from it. We all draw our identity to some level from it. We all, and if it fell apart, so would we. And so my question for you is, we all want to say it is Jesus. But the question is, can you honestly say it is Jesus in my life? It is Jesus in my marriage? And it's funny because this message pairs so well with last week's, or the series that we're in on identity, because it is everything we need to build our life on. And if we don't keep him centered, then everything else falls apart. But my question for you tonight is, what is it in your life? It being what you build your stability on. I'm not asking what your parents' it is. I'm not asking what your church's it is. What is it in your life? Is it truly Jesus, or is it your spouse? Listen, I know, I can't say from experience, but I could imagine how difficult it would be to lose a spouse. That would be crushing. But could you survive that? If your it is Jesus, then yes. If your it is your spouse, then no. Some of you, your it might be a job. And if your it fell apart, so would your identity. So would your stability. You'd say, I don't know how to pay for anything. I don't know what to do. Everything is over. And you would become Chicken Little. I mean, honestly, everything would be falling in around you if your it fell apart. Is it maybe perhaps a good name? And if your good name left, then everything would crumble. Maybe it's your treasure or your dreams, whatever it is. If it is not Jesus, we've learned from our Sunday morning series, everything else falls apart. Nothing else is stable. Nothing else is sure enough to make it across in this life. And so listen, no matter what it is, whatever area in your life, wherever you would say, this is it for me, it's my family, it's my friends, it's my money, it's my whatever, here's how you tell. It stays the center of your everything, and your everything is built upon that. And here's how you can tell if it's Jesus or not. I would come to church, but fill in the blank. Because if everything was built on him, then, man, that's it. That's it. I don't got anything else. I don't need anything else. It is Jesus. You know, I would bestow my worship to Jesus, but, and so if it is not Jesus Christ, if your entire everything is not centered around him, you're on the wrong pole. You're on the wrong beam, and whatever it is that's centered under your feet is going to crack, it's going to crumble, and you will pay, and your family will pay the price for that. Because it can only be Jesus Christ, because there is only one thing, one person, one rock you can anchor your life to that won't fall apart, and that is Jesus Christ, because everything else is movable. So how do we keep Jesus the center of our lives? Now, hopefully you figured out, yeah, he is, or no, he's not. But how would we keep Jesus the center of our life? And the answer is really quite simple. It's found in our worship. It's found in our worship. You know, the matter of fact is that we all worship. Every person in here worships. The lost worship and the saved worship. The lost worship at the altar of pleasure. The lost worship at the pleasure of fun and of fame and all the different things. We all worship. We all bow down. It's written in our nature to worship something. Lost people and saved people alike. The key to keeping something centered is really, really simple. Are you ready? Give it your worship. How do I keep Jesus the center of my life? I keep trying to, but I end up not. Give Jesus your worship. What you worship is the center of your life. If you wake up thinking about money and you go to sleep thinking about money and you live Monday through Friday trying to earn money and then you compromise your church attendance because you got to go make money, what are you doing? You are laying your worship at money. And it is the center of your life. But if you say, hey, listen, the only thing worthy of my worship would be Jesus Christ. And so Monday through Friday, I got to go to work. But the reason I'm doing that is so that I can better serve Jesus. And I'm going to lay those funds. And it's not even all about the money, but I'm going to lay that at his feet. I'm going to lay my weekend at his feet. I'm going to lay my life at his feet. And anything he wants to make out of what I give him is his choice. That's worship. And it becomes Jesus Christ. And you've kept him centered. Listen, the key to keeping something centered is to lay your worship at it. If you would worship Christ, you would build your life upon him. It is that easy. I want to build my life on Jesus, then worship him. I want my life to be all about him, then worship him. Then lay who you are and everything you want to be at his feet and give it to him and worship him, and he will naturally become the center of your life. That's why church matters. That's why being faithful to the house of God matters. Why? What are we doing here? Jesus, here's my time. Jesus, I'll buy a bag of candy for you. Jesus, I'll decorate a platform for you. Jesus, I'll lay my life at your feet. Jesus, I'll give you the worship that's due your name. That's why giving is so important. Not because it's about the money, but because our heart goes with it. And what we worship gets our heart. What we worship is centered in our life. And so if it's not Jesus there, it's because you've not been giving him worship. It's all a matter of worship. So listen, even the entertainment industry understands that. Let me kind of, and I'm not against sports or TV or things of that nature. I'm against a lot of things that partake in both those arenas. But the entertainment industry understands this, that if they can get your consistent worship, they'll center themselves in your life. Let me explain it to you like this. If they can get you to a sporting event, if they can get you to spend your money while at that sporting event, if they can get you to go home a fan, you will come back. And if you become a diehard fan, you'll fall in love with their athletes, their stadium, their brand. You'll wear their gear. You'll represent that team. You'll watch every game. What are they trying to do? They're not going to succeed. Now, there are some people who absolutely worship sports. I met them out door knocking. Well, I can't come to church. It's football season, okay? I don't think that's going to be you. But think about it in just an honest perspective. I'm not saying sports are unhealthy. But just in an honest perspective, here's what the entertainment industry is trying to get you to do. Center yourself on them. So they can ultimately take your worship, your money, your time, your interest, your talents, your affections. They're trying to get you to fall in love with a brand and a team and a group and a sport so that your life can be centered around that, so your time, your treasure, your talent can all go to that. The entertainment industry understands worship is something that you give multiple facets of your life to. And so if for you, Jesus only gets a Sunday, he's not getting your worship. If Jesus only gets some of your week, he's not getting your worship. And the entertainment industry understands that. How have we been duped into missing that? Because if we don't keep Jesus centered in our life, he will not be the it by default, because naturally we fall to other things. So number one, we must keep Jesus at the center. Number two, we must then center ourselves upon Jesus. So keep it centered, number one. Number two, now keep you centered on it. You say, Pastor, aren't those the same thing? I mean, keeping Jesus the center of my life and then keeping my life centered on Jesus, are not those the same exact thing, Pastor? Did you take too much time off? Are you stretching for illustrations or points? I'm not. They are not the same thing, and here's why. I have met many people who know Jesus for who he is. They know he's Lord. They know he deserves their worship. They know that he is the highest, giving their life and affection and adoration to him is the highest thing they can do. They know that he sits on the throne. They know he's centered in where he stands. They could come and teach a lesson just as good as any of us and say, nope, Jesus is right there. That's where Jesus deserves to stand. That's who he is. That's, as we heard this morning, they can know all the doctrine and the rope is centered in their life, but they have not centered themselves. They know Jesus deserves their worship, but they won't give it to him. They know Jesus deserves that tithe, that missions, that giving, but they won't give it to him. They know that Jesus wants them to partake in the Lord's Supper, but they're not going to get their heart right, so they're not going to do it. They know where the rope lands. They've got it tied all up. It's the perfect slack. They know who he is, and in their heart and in their head, rather in their head, they know where Jesus sits, but they are not going to draw from him that source of stability. They know he's the rock they should build on, but they won't build on them. Because there's never come a moment, or rather they've, perhaps maybe there was, but now they've come away from it, but they're not actually tangibly centering their being upon him. They're leaning way off the edge. Emily, would you hop up there for me? And they're out of balance. The stick might be perfect. It's centered. It's balanced. It's right. But so over here's that raise. Emily, go ahead and grab that raise. Okay. The stick is fine. The balance beam is fine. But they get way off. Hop back up there, Emily. Thank you. So the job. Then the family time. Hey, listen. Is family good? Yeah, family's great. Hey, how about we just kind of skip church for a while and just spend some time with the family? The stick is fine. Everything's good. They know Jesus. We know Jesus. We should be there. We know that we understand. However, we've got some other things. Come on out, Emily. We've got some friends that are, we're trying to be a missionary, right? Teenager, talk about that. Just come on over here. Just date the unsaved person. Oh, it's great. Thank you, Miss Emily. You can be seated. And we get so out of balance. Family is important, but you can get out of balance in family. Leisure, incredibly important. Some variance in your schedule, some variance in your life, some time away with family, so incredibly healthy. But you can get out of balance. You can get so caught up in building your empire and your career and all your stuff that while the center, and I've met the people, they've sat in my office and they say, oh, I know Jesus is supreme, he deserves to be preeminent, he's all of these things. And yet they're leaning way off this way or way off that way. And they got all the right words, but their life is in shambles. Why? Because while it is centered, they are not centered to it. And listen, it's not enough just to know who Jesus deserves to be in our life. We must take tangible steps to offer him. And here's the key word, the authority in our lives. So listen, centering the pole, getting this squared away is about worship. Getting us squared away on the pole is about authority. It's about recognizing who Jesus is and why he deserves to be the only platform upon which we build our lives. It's about authority. It's not even about worship. Worship says, God, you deserve to be right here. You deserve to be preeminent. You deserve to have everything that I am. This should be yours. Knowing. But then when we come to the part where we need to center ourselves, it's a matter of saying, Lord, you are the rock on which I should build my life. You deserve the authority, and I'm going to submit to that. It's really a matter, we talked a lot about it, making him your Savior versus making him your Lord. And so perhaps the reason maybe your life is out of balance is not because you don't fear God or don't know who he is. Because I think most of you do recognize that he deserves a preeminent seat. I think for most of us in this room, it's not a matter of not knowing where he sits or where he should sit. It's a matter of not acting accordingly. We know he's God, but we don't submit to him like he's God. We said that salvation is a matter of accepting Jesus Jesus accepting us the way we are, and lordship is a matter of us accepting him the way he is. You are God. You are majestic. You are awesome. You are everything. I submit to that. That's what happens when we center ourselves on that pole. And listen, if the Christian in this room would surrender to God, the God they know him to be, they would be incredible funambulists. They would have a balance in their life that says, yeah, here's who God is. Man, he's so high. I'm so not. But if I can just stay centered on his will, so much of life is difficult to make it across. But, you know, if I just stay centered under him, then I know I can do it. I mean, I have people all the time frantically say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Work just offered me tons and tons and tons of money, but I have to sell my soul. Well, Emily, hop up here. Where does Jesus land? Okay, and this is why these decisions aren't hard. For some people in this room, that would not be a hard decision. If somebody came to you and offered you double your salary right now, and you just have to skip church for 52 weeks, most of you would be like, yeah, no. Some of you are like, that might be a good idea. For those of you in this room who say, no way, it's because you know where Jesus is and what he deserves, and you have centered yourself accordingly. And so you're not going to reach way, way out here. I meet people all the time. Pastor, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm having trouble with my extended family or this circumstance. And life is not hard to balance the tensions if you stay where you're supposed to be. The problem is life has a way of calling us. Emily, come here. Come this way. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, see, you fell for it. Okay. Life has a way. We saw it this morning about being constrained by the love of Christ. Life has a way of getting us all these trappings and all this fun and all this stuff just out of reach. Why? Because it wants you to get off balance. And it's not hard. Life shouldn't be that tough. Pastor, should I give up on being a parent just so that I can build my career? No. And why for some it's so easy and for others it's like the hardest decision? Why? Because they don't know where Jesus lands on it. We've been talking a lot in teen class, right? There's all this spectrum and these opinions. The only thing that matters is where does Jesus stand? Well, Jesus stands dead center, balanced, and we ought to stand there as well. Thank you, Emily. You can be seated. So listen, this is two-thirds of the battle. Two-thirds. Balancing, keeping it in the center. It depends on what it is for you. If it's not Jesus, it's something else. And no matter how good you balance, it's going to crumble. But if it is Jesus, you're in the right direction. So number one, keep it centered. Number two, keep you centered to it. Those are the rules of balance. Now, the third part of the battle is not a matter of really balancing, though we do have an illustration for it. Go to James chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Two-thirds of the battle. First third, I would say, is finding where it should be centered. Who is Jesus and how should we respond to him? Number two would be then balancing ourselves to that, tuning our hearts to him. But there is a third incredibly difficult obstacle in our way. It's James 1:8. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I do have another piece of wood up here, Miss Emily. Now, I did have to pick a tiny teenage girl because I didn't figure the weight would hold of a teenage guy. Now, Miss Emily, this is going to be the way of the world. Go ahead and hop up here, Miss Emily. I did tell your mom I might be taking your life. Go ahead and stand there. So a double-minded man says, hey, I really like God. I like church. I enjoy the people. But, yeah, you might want to keep that tight. But, you might want to move your feet too, sister. That seems a lot of fun. Now I'm going to stand over here in case you die, Miss Emily. Do you want to come over here, first of all? There's a lot of fun. It looks, I mean, there's people are doing whatever they want to. You can. Now, Miss Emily, I'm going to have you step this way. Try to balance on both. See if it compromises. Is that going to hold your weight? Let's try it again. Come here. Let's try it again. We'll make it a little easier. We'll put it closer, and I'll hold it. See if you can balance on both of them. Okay? Now, Miss Emily, is this pole right here stable? Is that pole stable? Are you stable on this pole? Why not? You're trying to do both. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. I don't need to endanger her life anymore to get the illustration. Even though this pole is stable, you are not. You're not stable here, and you're not stable there. Because when you split your affections, and you split the foundation of your life and say, well, I want both, you can't have both. You either, you're going to land right in the middle and you're going to have it split. And honestly, people who pretend to do church and then go live like the world, they're already way over there and it can't support the weight of a family. It can't support the weight of conviction. It can't support the weight of, I won't do what I swore to, you know, promised to God that I wouldn't do. They always end up failing because that can't support a life. And when we split our mind, we are unstable in every single area of our life. And I counsel people all the time who don't, they can't figure out why their life in every area is falling apart. I don't understand, Pastor, my parenting is not working and my spouses are not working and the bills are mounting, just life isn't working. Why? I can see it. You got one foot on both sides. You're not going to be stable in all your ways. There's not going to be a single area of your life that isn't shaky. Your marriage is going to be shaky. Your finances are going to be shaky. Your parenting is going to be shaky. Your job's going to be shaky. Why? Because God has guaranteed to the believer that we don't get to mock him. We don't get to drag his name through the mud saying, I can live both ways. No, not according to God, because be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh corruption, you will reap corruption. To be carnally minded is death. We saw that. So the idea that you can balance both, the reality is that will not support your way. Stability cannot be had if you spend your life jumping from in church to out of church, giving, not giving, reading my Bible, not reading my Bible, loving my neighbor, not loving my neighbor. You cannot build a stable life hopping back and forth between the two. You would be a terrible funambulist. Could you imagine? I'm sure this has never happened. A funambulist halfway through tried to jump to another wire. That'd be the dumbest thing in the world. And yet Christians will make it 15 years into their Christian life, doing great, struggling along, trying to balance, and all of a sudden say, but it's greener, and just throw themselves off, hoping that the world will catch them, and they'll have fun, but it never pans out. Because Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Listen, balancing is hard enough, but then add in, so keeping Jesus the center of our life, if that was the only option for every believer, that would be easier, but it would still be tough, wouldn't it? I mean, because even as someone who sold out for God, it's tough to keep him absolutely centered. It's tough to keep the balance of tension of, man, I'm busy with jobs, I'm busy with projects, we got this, we got that, we got family, we got all these things. If that was the only option, it would still be difficult. But now add in this other option, this secondary pole, if you will, and our minds get so distracted and we get so caught up. Could you imagine someone doing tightrope walking across the Grand Canyon and people are yelling at them trying, hey, so where are we going to eat today? And they're just throwing unimportant things at them. How difficult that would be. Somebody starts shaking the pole. You know, there's so many things that could make it so much harder. And we get so distracted if we get off center from Jesus Christ. Balancing is hard enough, but then add in the winds of life. They begin to blow, distractions, tragedies. Life does not work this way. It does, however, work if you would center your life on Jesus. So I'm going to end with these three questions. Number one, where is Jesus in your life? Is he, in fact, central? Have you lost sight of him? I mean, maybe priorities have shifted, some things have changed, and you've just kind of gotten well over left. You've kind of moved him and made up your own perception. Well, God's okay if I disobey him. He's fine. You know, I do. Me and God, we have our own thing. Have you ever heard that? Dumbest thing ever. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that God wrote another Bible. Good. Thank you for informing me of that. I didn't realize that God and you had special conversations about who he actually is. That doesn't work. So where is Jesus in your life? Have you lost sight of him? Do you believe, I'm not asking if you do it, but do you believe he's worthy of your worship? Do you believe he's worthy of the life of your entire existence? Do you believe that? If so, he's centered. That's not the final. That's not it. To have a nice, sturdy line tied perfectly is not enough. You still have to know what you're doing, and that is you centering your life on him. So let me ask you then, where is your relationship with Jesus? Are you centered to him? You may know where he is and be completely off balance. You may know Jesus is deserving of your Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning, giving, missions, all of that. You may know that, but are you centered on that? Are you leaning way left? Well, that's not a life of balance, and you cannot be surprised when life is out of balance, okay? Have you surrendered to his lordship? Because that second thing is about authority. The first one was about worship. This one is about authority. Have you bowed in your area, in the areas of decision-making? When it comes to making decisions, is God at the helm of that? Or is it, well, you know, we're going to move because it's just there's a better option. Is that God's option? I'm not God. I can't tell you exactly what God's will is. I can give you some really solid biblical math. However, did God get to make that decision, or you just show up and tell him those decisions? What about your priorities and structuring of what is most important in your life? You know God belongs on that list, but you don't let him make up that list. What are you willing to give up if he asked for it? Okay. Number three, are you contemplating the other option? Some of you, you know where he's at. You're not centered. Some of you know where he's at, and for the most part, you've tried to center your life, but now you're looking over and saying, but, I mean, wouldn't it be, you know, can't I have both? Can I, you know, and eventually we all end up well over there. And as light as Miss Emily is, I still don't think that, what is that, a 1x2 could hold you, and this world definitely cannot. And you've seen it. You've seen the tragedies. You've seen the train wrecks. You've seen all of that. That can't support you. And this is honestly a terrible example because the world is going to chew you up and spit you out. And you don't get to do both. And if your life is completely unstable, that's probably why. And if it's not that, you're either way off balance one way or another. And you may be in pursuit of good things, family, you know, a better life for your kids. You may be in pursuit of fine things. But if you're not centered to what Jesus wants, even if you could have that raise, Jesus says, no, don't do it. You stay here. It's the only way to have balance in your life. And so if you're like me and there come seasons where it's tough to balance everything, figure that out. Okay, Jesus, where are you? All right, now I need to line up to that. And if I don't, then it's my fault my life is out of balance. It's my fault I'm not being the husband I ought to be. It's my fault I'm not being the church member I ought to be. Because I know where you are, and if I don't line up to that, then that's my fault. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be just